Let's do this. It's Hot Sheet. OG crew here. Scott Braun with Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Jeff Ponce. Brandon Winokur in the Twin system is going to join us soon. He is a big athletic kid. We'll talk to him. If you have questions for us, let us know now. And I want to go fast because I want to spend time on this topic. I like it. Let's hit the first move. We have farm system StatCast hitting rankings and unique formulas put together by Baseball America's Finest. So you can see the tweet here that they've measured performance this season, underlying metrics via Hawkeye, data gathered across the minors to show which players top the leaderboards. But what about farm system rankings? So, JJ, Hit Plus is what we call it. And what does Hit Plus tell us?
So, okay. There's a lot of complicated formulas in here, but I really can summarize it pretty quickly, which is we're looking at how much hitters understand the strike zone. Do they chase pitches out of the zone? Do they hold off? Do they hit pitches in the zone? How much contact do you make? How hard do you hit it? And then kind of what you do when you do hit it, right? Are you pulling it line drive in the air? Are you slapping it on the ground? That kind of all bakes into like how often you're, how much you're expected to produce from that. And we do that for everyone in the minors, pull it all together, and that gives you organizational hit plus rates, which gives you an idea of how these different organizations do at different aspects of hitting, right? But with hitting, it really comes down to, it's pretty simple. You see it here, but that can really be summarized as, do you know the strike zone? Do you swing at strikes, take balls? Do you make contact with when you swing? And do you hit the ball hard and hit the ball well when you do? Jeff, that's kind of the summation of it, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's easy to kind of look at the numbers and to sort of come away with certain trends based on the fact that it is, you know, a skill that very much is defined as to what you need to do, which is putting the bat in the ball, number one, swing at pitches that are hittable, number two. And when you do those two things, do as much damage as you possibly can in terms of hitting the ball hard, but also hitting the ball hard at optimal angles. And that's all stuff that we're trying to bake into this number. So we're trying to get a really well-rounded look at each and every prospect within an organization and then sort of weigh out based upon, you know, how many at-bats each prospect got, what their unique contribution is to the larger number, if that all makes sense.
And the thing that stands out there, as you see it right there, is the Dodgers are number one, which is probably not a stunning development, but the Dodgers are. The thing about the Dodgers is that really stands out is there's not this one attribute. It's not like that they hit the ball harder than everyone else. It's not that they have the best pitch recognition, zone recognition. It's just that their hitters across the organization do everything really well. Like they're solid. There's not some giant flaw in the Dodgers organizational development of hitters. You put that all together and that's why they rank number one.
Yeah. And I think that's clear to see when you look at any of these teams that are up at the top. But particularly the Dodgers, where, you know, they rank above average in swing decisions and contact overall, and they're right around there in zone contact. And as we often see, I think just within numbers that you'll trade maybe a little bit of zone miss for a little bit more impact. And in that regard, they're higher in 90th percentile EV, they're higher in barrels. And as well as any of these teams right at the top, they really do balance sort of the plate skills, which when I use that term, I'm describing bat to ball ability and swing decisions. And then, you know, impact, which we're talking about the ability to hit the ball hard, but also catch barrels, hit the ball at good angles and to be able to, you know, spray the ball to the right parts of the park and do damage. Cause we are baking in a little bit of, you know, pull side and air pull numbers into all of this as well. So Dodgers are one for sure. And I think the Tigers, the Giants, and the Twins actually are all teams that I would call out as, you know, really strong performers.
And the Twins are one that do jump out here. Now, we do want to point out, this is, we're talking about hitting here. We're talking about the pitcher-batter interaction, right? This is not fielding. This is not base running. This is not athleticism. This is purely looking at hitters. But the Twins stand out. They're number five on this list. And the thing that just really jumps out with them is it's their ability to make contact and their ability to hit the ball hard, right? That is something that if you look at the Twins in recent years, I know that this was a terrible season for Minnesota, especially the trade-off at the deadline. They really fell off the cliff after that. But when you look at them developing hitters, you look at a Luke Kuechel this year. You look at actually the development of Austin Martin in the second half when they gave him more playing time. Obviously a Brooks Lee, Royce Lewis not that long ago. This is an organization that has produced hitters in recent years, and we are seeing it also still in the minor league level. You look at a Kalen Culpepper, and you look at someone like, you know, guess we got coming up, Brandon Whitaker. This is an organization that has guys who hit the ball hard and who generally do a pretty good job of making contact to go with that. One other team, if I could bring up, we just mentioned a little bit, you see it on there, the Giants. I would say that of the teams in the top five here, and you look at what recently they've produced, I would say that the Giants are one that really does stand out. That the Giants are one that I would say is maybe a little bit surprising, but I would say a lot of that is to kind of keep an eye on what they're doing, especially in the lower levels. We keep talking about this. We're going to keep talking about this. Joshua Gonzalez obviously is the preeminent guy on this. Johnny Level, there are others. But I would say that the Giants' lower level prospects, there's something kind of interesting brewing there. They're far away. There's a lot of risk when you talk about prospects who have yet to, in some cases, make it to full season ball, but in some other cases have definitely not made it out of low A yet. You put that all together, though, and there's something interesting. It's interesting to see that the data is already picking that up, and we'll see kind of how that develops in 2026 and beyond.
And I'm excited for later in the show when we look at the pitcher rankings and dive into that conversation. You'll see some similarities and many differences in terms of teams towards the top, but one that certainly stands out. Teaser there. Anyway, we're getting ready for Brandon Whitaker, so let's step aside and see if we can get him going right after this. KP, we both love Omaha Steaks. My latest order, 6 private reserve filet mignons. It sounds bougie because it is. They were fantastic. And also 1.5 pounds of jumbo cooked shrimp with a big initial discount and then an additional $35 off with the code FOUL. You have been a longtime Omaha Steaks guy too.
Yeah, back in college, I would always order steaks. I'd put them in my freezer. And that's the reason I bulked up, is because I always had fresh steaks in my freezer ready to go.
Delicious protein. Get after it, okay? It is the best in the biz. If you're ordering steaks online, you can save big with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites during their early Black Friday sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code FOUL at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com. Promo code FOUL at checkout. We're back. We're answering a question. Mitchell, when do McGonagall and Clark make their debuts next season for the Tigers? Any chance Rainer can make a Griffin-like jump next season if fully healthy? JJ, what do you think?
I would say they're both on the same development path, but I would say that McGonagall probably before Clark, just because as the team is at least currently constructed, there's more opportunity there. Clark can play in a corner, but you do have Riley Green. You do have Parker Meadows when healthy. You do have Kerry Carpenter, who you probably want to at least be somewhat part of that outfield mix. Look at McGonagall, and right now you say, okay, is Javier – I don't think McGonagall's a shortstop. That's the key part here is that, but I do think he could be their best second baseman pretty quickly next year. It's not a team that has a lot of second basemen who are really kind of solid defensively and can hit. They have a little bit of the guys who can hit who aren't so great defensively and vice versa. So I think he's the first of those guys. I think Clark, if there's an injury, he could be ready almost day one. But if not, it's kind of probably more of a later in the season kind of thing for him. And then with Bryce, I think that's a great question to ask. No, I don't think he can make a Griffin-like jump next year because Connor Griffin just made one of the, you see a jump like that once every 5 years maybe. So it's hard to say that another guy's going to do that, but it is worth noting that this was the other best shortstop prospect in that draft class on the high school side. So you are talking about him and, you know, you're talking about a legit top prospect, top 50 prospect in the game, had an injury last year, but coming back from that, he definitely could be very much an impact prospect. I just wouldn't put him in the Connor Griffin category.
Let's get to a shortstop slash center field prospect joining us live on the show right now, part of the Twins organization, one of their top prospects. Brandon Winokur is here. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today. How was your season in the minors?
It was fun. Can you boys hear me just so I can check?
Yeah, yeah. We got you good. Okay. Yeah, you sound great.
It was good, man. It was a little chilly up in Cedar Rapids at the beginning of the year. That was definitely something I haven't been used to so far, like the first month and a half. Other than that, I enjoyed it. We ended up doing really well. We made it to like the final championship game. But it was a really fun year. I had a lot of fun, you know, same things every year, make a bunch of new friends, meet all the guys. But it was a really fun year for me.
As people can tell from your shot, like, you are one of the bigger shortstops in the, you know, in the minor leagues, center fielder. But I got to say, also watching your defense, playing some third now too, and your ability to kind of go to your left and then make that throw, is that like a position that's kind of getting, are you feeling more and more comfortable there as well?
Yeah, I love third base. That was something, like you said, at the beginning of the year, I spent maybe, you know, 1 out of 10 games there. And then I started playing there more often when some of our other guys got pulled up and, you know, some stuff moved around. And I really enjoyed it. The first few games were a little uncomfortable, you know, like anything else, first few times were a little uncomfortable. But after that, I was like, I started seeing my name in the lineup at third base. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Like, I enjoy this. You know, it's a fun position. There's a lot of stuff that normally happens throughout a game at third. I feel like I can use my arm a little bit more, you know, kind of going to my backhand side, making some quick plays. You know, there's not as much time to think, so you can kind of just, you know, react side to side. But I really enjoyed third base. So.
Hey, Brandon, you know, you're out in AFL, obviously, a place where you can work on a lot of different stuff. Is there a focus just in terms of a defensive position or some things at the plate that, you know, you're really trying to hone in on with this extra work?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have our AAA coach, Danny, here, who's been awesome so far. And I think our plan is really just to be as consistent as possible these next 6 weeks with my approach to the plate and my swing, and just, like I said, just being consistent, like working out in the cage, just kind of dominating my routine every day going in, you know, whether I feel, you know, a little tired or I feel great, like just dominating my routine and, you know, hitting the fastball. I think that was something that I really, you know, had gotten a little bit away from this last year. And so my biggest thing is, like, I just want to dominate fastball and have, you know, kind of like, just these next 6 weeks, just have a simple approach at the plate. You know, I know I don't have to do too much to, you know, use my power at the plate. So just consistent, just kind of like trying to keep it simple at the plate and just hit it, you know, hit fastball as well. So that's kind of the main focus these next, like, I guess now only 4 weeks, you know, this has gone by pretty fast. So that's kind of the big focus for us. So
getting the right people in the door quick is critical to maintain your company's workflow. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed Sponsored Jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast because it puts the best and most qualified candidates in front of you quickly. Plus, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you were at Huntington Beach, we heard about your athleticism. You know, you, when talking to people with the Twins, they talk about your athleticism. But then we look at your family. I got to ask you the question, like, how do you shape up as the athlete in the family? You've got a brother who's an All-American volleyball player. You've got, you know, a dad who was a decathlete. You've got a mom who is a hurdler. We know that where the athleticism comes from. but how do you shape up in the family athlete power rankings, do you think?
It's I'll never compare myself to my dad. We're all very competitive, and my dad was an amazing, like I said, ran the decathlon in college, was an All-American. My brother's playing Division I volleyball at Loyola. And then my mom was a hurdler, played on the number one high school soccer team in the country when she was younger too. And it's just a competitive environment. And I have to give credit right away to my mom. She took, while all us boys were very competitive growing up, she knew that she had to take a step down or else the household would be like a zoo. Everyone going at each other's heads every day. So I think it's just really fun. Growing up with a brother who was only a year younger than me, he's huge too. He's like 6'5", well over 200 pounds. So growing up in that environment was really competitive. We all really pushed each other, but we support each other too. Like it's supportive. It's competitive. My dad has always been really hard on me and my brother. I think that was a really good thing. Growing up, sometimes I was like, dang, dad, like let's chill out a little bit. Like I just went, 4 for 4 with 2 pumps in my little league game. And he's worried about getting back to work the next day. I'm 10 years old. I'm like, dude, I just want to go grab my ramen noodles with my food ticket I just got. And he's like, let's get back in the cage, this and that. So it's been a really competitive environment, but it's been the best thing for me and my brother. And I think it's really helped push us, having that competitive family. So
you mentioned the early success, the 4 for 4 with 2 homers, but obviously, yeah, you were balling when you were a kid. Were there other sports too, or was baseball quickly the one?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I still enjoyed playing a lot of other sports, but going into high school, played a little bit of football, basketball, soccer, ran track and field, volleyball. I did just about everything. And then once I got into high school, I think it was a conversation that I had with my parents was like, hey, this is, my dad was like, hey man, I always loved baseball the most. I've always been a huge fan of the sport ever since I was a little kid. Love watching it, love playing it. I lived and breathed it. And although I did love playing other sports, I knew, and my dad sort of knew, once I hit freshman year of high school, it's like, this is what we're doing. I think it was, looking back to, did I have wanted to maybe play a little bit of basketball in high school? Maybe play a little bit of football, but it's like baseball, I've always loved it the most. And I think it kept me healthy. If I had been on the basketball court and sprained ankle or something like that, that could have been detrimental to baseball. I think my family knew that and I knew that. So going into high school, just about everything. And then once I got to freshman year, I'm like, this is it. Like, this is what I know I have a future in, the most and what I really want to do. So
if we were asked this question a couple of years ago, there'd been like, oh, there are no 6'6" shortstops in the big leagues. Now we can say that. We got Ellie, we had O'Neill Cruz, we've got other guys. But as a guy who's always been, I would imagine, one of the biggest shortstops around, is there any big shortstop that you kind of looked at that you kind of tried to model your game after, as you were growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I always loved Jeter. I know he was a little bit before my time. Sort of my time growing up was like watching Correa, and he was a guy on the Astros who I was like, he was one of the bigger first shortstops. And I try to model still to this day, a lot of the way I field around him. He, being a bigger guy, he uses a lot of one hand. You don't see him a lot, getting down and using 2 hands every time. He likes using 1 hand, using his levers, using his arm. And that's kind of the guy growing up that I was like, that's a bigger shortstop. You can watch him do it, watch him, just be an amazing player on the field. And so I like to think that I tried to model my game after him a little bit playing shortstop, because he was one of the first, before the Ellie and the, O'Neill Cruz. Like, it's crazy. It's definitely hard, but that's why I just try to be as detail oriented as possible and make sure that my mechanics are in place just so I can try to still stick around there. So
you talked about how you want to emphasize in the AFL, hitting the fastball, dominating the fastball. Take us through at the plate your season. Like, what were kind of the highs, or what were some times where you're like, okay, I'm getting a little bit away from what I want to be doing?
Yeah. I think for me, being in the heart of most lineups, I get spun a lot, and being a bigger guy, I get spun a lot. And it's no secret that, most pitchers know I can do damage. So I started getting spun a lot, and I kind of got off the fastball. I feel like my first full year, I felt really good hitting the fastball. And I think I just got away from it just a little bit. I got spun a lot. So there are certain things in my swing that kind of started slowing down a little bit. But that was something coming in here. I'm like, I know I can hit the fastball really well. There's never been a question in my career. Like I know that when I'm, you know, dead red here sitting on a fastball, there's not much that I know that even though I'm big, I can, you know, still get into. So throughout the year, you know, I've always loved hitting home runs. So hitting a few home runs is always really cool. But honestly, like, I think just, I started off the season really slow, and then, you know, I had a few talks with our hitting guys. Tommy Estelle was a big deal for me. He kind of helped me get back on track after having kind of a slow start. So I think after the slow start for like the first month and a half, I felt a lot better after that. And then, yeah, but yeah, that's why this fall league's just like, we'll just hammer the fastball. And then, you know, I know going in next year, if I do, you know, what I know I can do in the fastball, then we should be pretty set. So
we always have fans, you know, and viewers who are asking. So he's asking about your cactus art behind you. I'm going to spin that a little bit. He was asking if you drew the cactus art, is that from a host family fan art? But I'm going to ask it this way also. I'm assuming that's not. And if it's not, though, do you have a talent that most people don't know? Is there something that you're good at that, you know, the average baseball fan who even follows you may not be aware of?
Okay, so to answer the first question, this is a host house. This is an Airbnb. I got Billy Amick and Hunter Hoops are my roommates here. I got a room with two beds, and yeah, there's a lot of cactus art. I grew up playing baseball in Arizona, so this is kind of an environment I'm used to a little bit. But no, this is that wasn't me. I could never draw something that good. It would look like a mess if I ever tried to do something like that. Art was not one of my talents growing up. Still has not been. But as far as talents go, like, I mean, I love playing other sports. I can do some cool dunks. I'm a good bowler. I think that's kind of random. I can spin the ball really well. I have my own bowling shoes. They're American flag themed, so that's kind of cool too. But I would say that, like, the biggest thing I like to do on the side that I practice a lot is bowling. Like, I take a lot of pride in that. So
you and Mookie Betts.
I don't know if I'm as good as Mookie Betts. I've seen that dude do some crazy things with a bowling ball. So I hope to be there one day. I hope to be there one day, but that would be pretty cool. So
I can tell you this, when you make it to the bigs and you see Mookie for the first time, he will be so excited if you bring that up to him, because there are probably not many players who go up to him and talk about the specifics of bowling. It sounds like you know what you're talking about. So I like it. That's already the instant icebreaker for that combo. Brandon, this was great, man. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Keep doing your thing. Have fun out there in Peoria. Have a good AFL season. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you, boys. Thank you. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you. All right. We'll be right back here on Hot Sheet. Let's hit this week's Arena Club Slab Pack Pull. We opened a ruby. We went big.
We did.
$250 pack.
That was, you know what? The nerves got me. I think it was so exciting because the motion, it waits about 4 or 5 seconds for the card to come up. Card that I got was over $300, a prospect from the Mariners. And for me, I love the card. I thought it was great. And guess what? I sold it back.
Yep.
And now I got a little more money, and now I can go buy another one. You have to wait a couple minutes afterwards. And this is the excitement of the whole thing. Put your money where your mouth is and have fun with Arena Club.
You can see that big smile on Todd Father's face. Lázaro Montes, who's supposed to be good. He's Baseball America top three. He's in the Mariners organization. But Todd Father sometimes thinks prospects are suspects.
Sometimes. So
he's going back to the well, and we'll see what he gets next time. Use the code FOUL, F-O-U-L, at arenaclub.com/foul if you want to get in on the first slab pack experience and get 20% off or 20% off your first card purchase. Let's do this. In the final sprint, which organizations have the best Stuff Plus and normalized Stuff Plus? JJ, I see a familiar team at the top.
So, yes, the Dodgers are at the top. And again, they are very good. They are very good at everything. They do everything to develop everything. But Jeff, I want to tee you off on a different, because yes, the Dodgers, we're going to talk about them again, but I want to tee you up on the Mets here, because the Mets are fourth here. The Marlins are one that really do jump out as an organization that's really improved. Check out Robbie Snelling, Thomas White. We could go down the list. But Jeff, with the Mets, what is it that's kind of helped them kind of take a big step forward here in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's just a tremendous amount of alignment between their acquisitions and their player development and particularly on the pitching side. A lot of the folks that are involved at the top and minor league pitching coordinators and strategists and that sort of thing are all involved in these organizational conversations. So they have a type. And once you kind of develop a type and a style of pitcher or player that you target, or traits that you can identify by using advanced metrics at the college level, or, you know, the high school stuff at some of these tournaments, or, you know, individual throwing sessions and workouts and all that sort of stuff that teams do, you can then identify the types of players you want to go after. The Mets have done a tremendous job of, you know, identifying a lot of really interesting college pitchers in the last couple of years. Guys like Will Watson, Brandon Sproat, of course, Nolan McLean, Zach Thornton's another one. You know, Jack Weininger, who's another guy who really had some great performances down the stretch for Binghamton, in, you know, when they won the Eastern League Championship. So I think you look at all these different names, there's a lot of interesting guys, even beyond the names of the Mets, that were at the major league level, guys like Tong, McLean, Sproat. There's a whole host of other names kind of coming along in the pipeline that I think are really, really interesting, and they've done a good job of targeting some of these different pitchers and then accentuating the traits that they did identify and liked, and, you know, ultimately getting better results and guys that are, you know, potential rotation pieces for them long term.
The thing that jumps out is that they have increased their velocity. They've improved arm speed. They're one of the top organizations as far as their average velo. But on top of that, you see them there are high up in breaking balls, they're high up in off speed. Again, you look at these teams at the top, it's generally not that they're doing one thing well, it's that they're figuring out a way to do multiple things well here. And I would also say, like, we're going to talk about it more on the Baseball America podcast, prospect podcast this week, but the Orioles being number two on that list, I think, would also surprise a lot of people, probably more so than the Red Sox being tied for fourth with the Mets. The Orioles are another team to watch here.
Okay. Speaking of the Orioles, actually, and I know he's a position player, but Enrique Bradfield Jr. is scheduled to join us next week. We can still ask him about his pitching teammates. I think that's a given, right? We'll take it.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. And we can talk. He's running down, you know, he's running down balls in center field for all of them. They are he is their best friend.
That's right. So we will talk to the super athletic center fielder, the Orioles prospect, next week. And thanks to Brandon Winokur for joining us. He was fantastic. We'll see you next week on Hot Sheet.